Did I ever tell you guys what a piece of shit Pugs is? I'm really glad that cocksucker isn't on tonight. Fuck him.
COVID, man. Come on.
Fuck him. Fuck his family. He can eat a dick.
All right. Well, I guess this is how we're starting. Where'd you get that muffin? Was it a special Chicago bakery?
It's a special
that's not Kroger. Open on Sundays?
Southern Tradition Kroger. Oh. Yeah.
It would have been cooler if it was a mom and pop shop that wasn't open on Sundays, but
no.
Can we start the fucking show, please, for the love of God?
Dave, you're supposed to be breaking pieces of the muffin off and eating them if you're gonna do it accurately.
Go fuck yourself.
Okay, there we go. All right. Well, I'm producer Todd. That's Mike Krueger. Unfortunately, Pugs is not here tonight. He is dealing with the Rona. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that?
I guess.
The thing.
The thing. Okay. He's going to mutate into something else, apparently.
Yeah. Just needs to stop spreading rumors, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
He's committed. I like it. All right.
Anyways, get well soon, Pugs. We miss you. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to tolerate all this bullshit without you here tonight.
I don't have a pipe bomb to drop. So, yeah. There you go. Anyways, I'm Flesh and Dan. For those of you like you're just tuning in wondering what this asshole's doing, that is what we call a little bit of wrestling. Not insider stuff. I think everybody knows about this. Is anybody confused in the chat?
It's all right. It's okay. I'm just here to let everyone know. Dan has been suspended. Sorry, Dan.
All right, time to start the show.
That was a quick one, Dan. You're lucky.
And I wasn't looking, so I don't know what you did.
I kicked you out of the group, Dan.
Oh, okay. Well, I was unaware of it, so that's okay. Anyways.
What do we got tonight, Dan?
Let me put down the muffin gimmick first, Todd.
You know what? You ate eggs that whole Jallo show, and I didn't hear you bitch once.
Yeah,
you had like 12 hard-boiled eggs. You can't eat a fucking muffin?
And you get sick. If you eat a lot of fucking eggs like that, you get sick. So, yeah, I wasn't going to suffer that much. I want to eat the whole muffin. Now I'm thirsty. Oh, I had the Pepsi gimmick, too, but there you go. I'll drink it anyways.
Dan's still acting like we're in Reseda.
Yep. So anyways, guys, thanks for joining us. Patrons, thanks for joining us for our little pre-show. We've never done a pre-show. We've done post shows, but we thought like, oh crap, let's do a pre-show. So, as always, Flesh Wound Features or patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures for all your
link
bonus content. Link in description. There's another Slashtober dropping soon, which we'll be bringing to you this October. Also, we've got a huge Hellraiser franchise show, a Night of the Demons franchise show with a very special guest, and all sorts of cool stuff coming your way this October. There are a lot of great horror podcasts, but I can honestly say in October, there won't be one that has more content than Flesh Wound Features. So thank you very much for supporting us.
And it all kicks off October 1st with our night one of Slashtober. And
there you
then go. Every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday will be the rest of the episodes throughout the month.
There you go. So, yeah, we've got a ton of movies tonight. But just to say hi to the chat first. What's up, Ghost Punisher, My Mail, Ben, I think, is in here. He was on Patreon, maybe he'll be here soon. Thanks for joining us for two shows today. I don't know if we had any wrestling fans yet, so if you're just joining us, you may want to rewind for all of that shenanigans.
Kruger disagrees. Just keep going.
Yeah, I think you're right, Todd. It should have just been total silence and just me eating the muffin for like half an hour. There you go.
We can do an ASMR channel for that.
Yes.
Right? That would grow quick. We would be monetized tomorrow, I think.
Well, fucking get on it, Dan. You're the most majestic looking one out of all of us. So
you just make like weird noises. I still don't understand. Is it a sex thing or is it a sleep thing?
It could be both.
Okay.
Can you hear it? I don't know.
Oh my god. Somebody out there has a boner now. Thanks,
like
Tom.
Bird calls.
There. Hold on. Is that working?
What the fuck? We're so off the rails tonight.
Maybe pre-shows aren't good. We get a little too loose.
Oh my god.
I figured loose. That was gonna like knock out all of our stuff so we just get right to business. Well, we obviously failed at that. So
we failed. We failed at life. But anyways, let's get right into our first review. We're not all nonsense. You know, you're gonna get some deep film analysis from us tonight. And our first film is The Retaliators from three directors, Samuel Gonzalez Jr., Michael Lombardi, and Bridget Smith. And in this one, an upstanding pastor uncovers a dark and twisted underworld as he searches for answers surrounding his daughter's brutal murder. All right, so this one was kind of a surprise. I didn't know much of anything going into it. A lot of random people show up in this movie.
A lot of metal musicians.
I don't think it's random. I think it's very
well. Yeah, yeah. Just I wasn't expecting it. We have Jacoby Shaddix, the lead singer, I believe, of Papa Roach. We got Tommy Lee randomly showing up. Yep. Brian O'Halloran is like an asshole at a Christmas tree farm from Clerks. Very like, interesting.
You got the also lead singer in the Ice Nine Kills and basically all of Five Finger Death Punch are actors in this movie as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is a sort of Death Wish style revenge movie with a horror element. The opening scene is kind of like, what the fuck? How do we get here? Because you get an opening scene, then you jump back to the typical, like, sort of Death Wish style pastor looking for revenge for his daughter. But it all blends together very well. I'm not going to tell you that this is necessarily a great film, but we need more of it. This is just badass, violent, gory, million miles an hour film that if you are into like grisly old school revenge movies, I think it delivers huge. I would compare it to another film that's debatable if I would be giving too much away. It's not a deep plot or anything. And obviously at the beginning, you know, this goes like full horror at some point, but I'll just say Death Wish meets a certain trauma favorite, which you guys will know what I'm talking about. That's as close as I can get. Some really sick kills in this. I'm assuming it made Kruger happy. We'll get into that in a second. I thought the acting from top to bottom was great. The villains were scary, intimidating, badass motherfuckers. This is a guy's movie. This really is. This is like a man's man. Just everybody's getting fucked up. Really more I would pitch it, I guess, as an action film first and foremost, but with some more intense gore that we'll get into. There is a wood chipper at some point that comes into play that had me smiling. Something about a wood chipper, which that will be interesting down the line. Kruger, what did you think of The Retaliators? Because I had a ball with it.
So you already brought up, like, the kills are all solid. I mean, even, like, right off the bat, you get this amazing decapitation in the beginning. And I was just like, oh, we're ready to party. Nice practical gore throughout. The effects are all solid. Also, I did like the main, he wasn't really the main antagonist, but one of the antagonists, Ram Candy, played by Joe Gatt, the bald dude, I thought did a phenomenal job with his performance. Also, love Mark Menchaca in anything. He's one of my favorite working actors, and I loved what they did with his character. I wish we kind of had more of his story. Where this movie kind of fails for me, and maybe it's just because I know all the actors. It was so off-putting to see all of Five Finger Death Punch as this biker gang. And like, I don't know. There was a point where they play a Five Finger Death Punch song, and it made me feel like I was watching one of their music videos. And I'm not the biggest Five Finger Death Punch fan anymore. I was back in the day, but I don't know. It was a little off-putting at times. And the story, it felt super choppy with the way it was told. Like, I liked the overall idea, but the way they told and the way everything played out on screen, I just felt like didn't flow very well. And it almost felt like there was like just a bunch of ideas thrown at the wall, see what sticks,
yeah,
and what happens. And I don't know. It did start to bring me back towards the end when, you know, we get the whole story with Mark Menchaca's character and what he was doing and the depth behind him. But overall, I can't really say I had a great time with it. There's moments that, you know, glimmer for me that I'm like, oh, that's really cool and stuff. But at the same time, it's not something that like I would watch again, maybe anytime soon. I'd give it maybe another chance down the line, but just maybe I wasn't in the right mood for it. I don't know.
I'm a sucker for a revenge movie, and this is still like a B movie that is a little bit all over the place, but it just satisfied those basics. The actor that played the dad getting revenge for his daughter, that's just such a simple but effective setup. And I think when you blend elements from one of my favorite trauma movies in there, that kind of
movie are you referring to?
I think it gives away a little bit too much.
Tell us in spoilers then.
Yeah, I'll mention it in spoilers. There's not a whole lot to spoil in this movie. It's still pretty standard, but I just wish we had more B movies like this. It is a B movie, and that's not a bad thing, and I wish we had more like this. It's just old school nasty, just an old school action movie. What about you, Todd? I'm curious.
No, I see. I think the difference, like, I get what Kruger's saying. It's like if I watched a movie with a bunch of like 90s rappers, I couldn't see them playing characters. Make it weird.
Well, it's not just that. Like, Ivan Moody, I've seen him in other stuff. He was in Devil's Carnival, and I love him. But just
they look scary.
But then seeing like fucking Zoltan Blathroy behind them, I'm like, are they about to fucking, you know, he's gonna go out Zoltan up to the sky, and they're gonna go into a fucking guitar solo, like, you know?
See, all that means nothing to me, so it didn't even register, because, you know, I know some of the music casually, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had a good time with it. I thought, you know, I like, you know, revenge vigilante flicks already, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I did have a good time, and I do have Pugs's comments on it. I may have to edit a couple things, but very cool to see some familiar faces from the rock and the porn world. This movie is a fun ride with a great message. The line, just in case there's no actual hell, I want every moment of their existence to be hell on earth. That's metal as fuck. It also seems like the thought was, I might only have one chance at this, so I'm doing everything I want to do and succeeding the fuck out of it. Big fan of this one.
All right.
Yeah, I figured Pugs was gonna like it. Yeah,
I thought Kruger was going to too. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, maybe I was just in a weird mood, man. I don't know.
Could be. Maybe you're left hanging.
Maybe more like full on horror from beginning to end.
I think that would have helped too.
That would have helped, but even like I think what this movie does best is when it actually goes into the horror elements. Like I said, some of the kills, like that fucking kill with the what do they call it? The tailpipe of the car. I've never seen anything like that in any movie ever. But at the same time, the story didn't flow well. So I was just getting kind of lost and waiting for kills to happen. And not all the time is that going to, you know, make me a fan of something. Unfortunately,
I can't speak to, I mean, I know the Papa Roach and everything, obviously, but I just thought everybody did such a good job of just coming off as just like a violent, dangerous sleazebag. The whole like, don't touch my car, And then when he did it the second time and, you know, where all that ended up, I was just like, it was just perfect. We need more B movies like this. Again, I don't want to, this is not going to be like some 5-star review, but, and I thought the action at the end was nonstop and it was handled well. If you're in the mood for that. Yeah. Punisher Batman fan, where do we watch this?
I actually didn't mean to bring that up yet, but since I did, it actually doesn't come out till next Tuesday. So, and then it'll be on VOD, available for purchase and rent. And yeah, so that's next Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Check it out, guys. I think it's a really good time. Anything else to say? We can rate it?
No, go ahead and rate it.
I'm a 3.5, and I really did like this. I will watch it again. I will buy it once a physical copy comes out. It is just a kick-ass movie. What about you, Kruger?
It's going to be low, but I'm a 2 out of 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm a 4 out of 5, and Pugs is chiming in with a 5 of 5.
Wow. So, boom. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I kind of wanted to go higher. I don't want to give the impression that it's like some flawless movie, but I did. I really liked it.
Yeah, I agree.
Warts
I
mean, and all.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. All right. Well.
All right.
So what do we have next? Is it time to head off to Shudder?
It is time for our Shudder original from writer-director Duncan Birmingham. And this is Who Invited Them? In this one, Adam and Margot's housewarming party is a success. One couple lingers after the other guests, revealing themselves to be wealthy neighbors. That sentence didn't quite add up to me, but that's the synopsis. As one nightcap leads to another, Adam and Margot suspect their new friends are duplicitous strangers. All right, so who invited them? So this one, how do I put this? It's a very LA movie, and I don't really mean that in a good way. I don't know if that makes sense. It probably would. If you spent time in LA and you've watched this, you'll probably kind of get what I mean. I actually at one point almost became a realtor, so I kind of like feel like I know these people, and I really don't like them. So it's kind of, this one is, I would call it like a comedic thriller. I mean, it is a horror movie. I'm not playing the, is it a horror movie game? It's not funny and it's not thrilling for me. And that's kind of a big issue. The ending on paper, like I get it. I could see some people liking the ending, but it didn't do anything for me. I just didn't care about anybody in this movie. I would recommend a very similar film called The Invitation, what's the director's name? Karen Kusama.
Not to be confused with The Invitation.
Yeah, not there's a bunch. There's also one with Lance Henriksen, but yeah. No, the Karen Kusama flick, very, very similar as far as like house guests that won't leave, and I won't ruin that movie because that one is great. But yeah, it's not funny. It didn't like really fully capitalize on the low key creepiness of like just who the fuck are they? Why are they here? I'm ahead of the plot. I already kind of know the reveal. They tip their hats. I know a lot of people will look at this review and probably say, well, you weren't supposed to like them. They were supposed to be annoying. But I'm like, that's still kind of an issue.
Which ones were you saying everyone was annoying?
Entire film. Except the kid, I guess. But other than that, everybody in the entire film is annoying as fuck. And it starts off interesting. Like, it's a dream sequence at the very beginning, so I'm not giving anything away. But with the blood leaking out of the parents' bedroom, I'm like, oh, wow, this looks like it's going to be intense. But it's all downhill from there. I think some of the acting's bad. I get what they're going for, but I didn't think it hit at all. This is actually one of the more disappointing Shudder originals, which Shudder has been really kind to me lately. I found more often than not, you know, I don't know, 8 times out of 10, they're kind of at least delivering something that I like, if not love. And yeah, just nothing really. This just felt like a road to nowhere. I get what they're going for, but it just.
The road leads to nowhere? What?
The road leads to nowhere.
I got excited.
I can't sing or I'd start because that's a great song. God. But yeah, I don't know. And the twist, you're ahead of it. So even that doesn't hit. What about you, Kruger? I don't. I'm guessing you didn't like it, but maybe I'll be surprised tonight.
Well, you already gave it a GTS. Let me give it the Andacon device. Yeah, this movie fucking was not my thing at all. I mean, I didn't think the acting was bad. I thought the acting was fine, and it's a well-shot film. But the characters are just hella snobby and not fun to be around. And I'm okay with being around characters that are unlikable.
That is accurate. I mean, they exist, but yeah.
Yeah, but they still have to, like, you don't want to have to turn off the channel, you know, when you're in the middle of the movie. And that's kind of where, like, I was at. And the story bored me to pieces. And the way they throw in that twist there that you see coming literally 3 fucking miles and a half away, it didn't work for me. And it took forever also for this movie to pick up. It is kind of a slow burn. And then it picks up in the last 10 minutes. At that point, I was totally checked out, and everything that we got there just didn't make it worth the journey. So, and I guess the best way to describe it is this movie's just like really dull, and it leaves you wanting something, you know, better. I do think the opening scene, like you said, Dan, with the blood and stuff, it had you going, oh, this may be something good, but it is all downhill from there. And it's one of the worst Shudder movies I've seen in a bit. So,
yeah.
All right. Time to see if Todd gives it the Pepsi plunge, I guess.
I think you might like it, Todd.
Well,
can I do a quick rant? Sure. Anaconda Vice is a shit finish.
I love that move.
Yeah, but you can punch somebody right in the face, Kruger. It makes no sense. You got a free arm that you can just reach over and. But anyways,
have him lock the arm with his fucking legs.
That's what he should do. That's just.
But he doesn't do it.
Well, that's on him then.
That's on him. It doesn't take away from the actual move. You're gonna fucking talk shit about Hiroshi Tenzin? Hell no! That he made that move fucking famous in Japan. So watch your mouth.
Respect for Tenzin, but I'm just saying that it doesn't make sense. I always remember
to bring it back to the movie.
There you go. Sorry, Don. Go.
I gotta put over the dead parents watching Lucha. My mom for that. Yeah, Dan, you're right. I'm not like, yeah, I don't know if it's an LA thing. We'll find that out when I get the Pugs review. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't like normies touching my stuff, my movies or my CD collection.
Vinyl.
So you're saying you're an a-hole too.
Oh my God, why do you need to touch my shit? Like, it wouldn't be bothered if, like, you or basically anyone on this show, because I know you, like, know how to properly touch this stuff.
What if I get muffin crumbs on it?
Then I'm going to punch you in the face, Dan. Dan, really? You're going to tell me your OCD doesn't act up when people start touching your stuff?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Well, it depends, like I said, what. Yeah.
Fuck normies. I'm a thud. Good work. It's okay. We can all admit it. We all do it.
You can touch my books. You know, there's certain things I don't care.
I don't want to hear a list of things we can touch on, Dan. But yeah, I do agree with Ben brought up in the chat. It's a one and done film. Didn't feel like I wasted my time, but I can't see myself choosing to watch it again. I won't go that far. It's probably nothing I'm going to watch in the next few years, but yeah, I do agree with Dan though. Like the ending, I mean, there's nothing like super. And guessing, my thing is like anything I watch or anything we watch, we tend to know where it's going at this point.
Yeah, so but they make it fucking painfully obvious where it's going though.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't have to watch a lot of horror movies probably to guess what's going on here. Yeah. They telegraph it way in advance.
They do. Okay, let's see what Pugs thought. Who invited them? Felt like funny games, just not as good. Short and sweet. All right. Well, on that, do we want to rate it or do we have anything else on this?
Just for whatever reason, after I did watch this movie, it made me want to watch Cheap Thrills. I don't know why. Maybe it was just a weird the weird couple thing.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
That movie's the shit. I love it.
Cheap Thrills is great. Cheap Thrills, and if you haven't seen that and The Invitation, the Karen Kusama flick, those two are must watches. This one, there's just so much good stuff out there. I would imagine there are people out there who really like this movie. But I don't know. That's 0-4 there, and that's kind of rare. So that might tell you something.
What? I'm sorry, I was reading chats. I missed.
I was saying that's 0-4. We don't usually universally hate a movie. All four
didn't
of
you
us.
Say you didn't like it, or that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I said I did.
Oh, kind of, but you were crazy.
I literally said,
stop trying to speak his narrative, Dan. Yeah. Come on.
Let's do numbers.
Narrative, Todd.
Dan, what's your number?
My number is a half star. It was pretty bad.
All right.
What's your number?
I'm not that low. I'm a 1.5.
I am a 3.5.
Oh, that's higher than I thought then. Okay. My bad.
Pugs is a 4.
Oh, shit.
He's an LA thing.
What the fuck? All right. I totally misinterpreted that review. He said funny games, but not as good.
Yeah, see, Dan, I liked it too. Yeah, it's funny. He likes funny games. It's funny games, just not as good. Doesn't mean he disliked it.
If you're an LA a-hole, you will like this. If not, probably not. So there you go.
Yeah,
on the LA crack.
Yeah, I've already. That's weird. Kruger and I, maybe that's just my mind flipped off. It's like Kruger and I are uniting against you,
Todd. Bugs. It's not just me. I wasn't the highest.
Yeah, all right.
This doesn't happen very often unless it's like Lovecraft movies, but
Lovecraft movies will do it.
Yeah, you guys normally. Well, let's see if we can keep. Well, oh, never mind. We can't keep it going on this one because this will be me and Dan talking about a Patreon requested. This is Ben Grimm asked for Baby Oopsie Murder Dolls.
Okay. You were not doing Jaws first. Okay.
My no, you,
all right, baby. Yeah, but that's okay. Baby Oopsie Murder Dolls, which of course is the sequel to Baby Oopsie, which we reviewed not too long ago. They crank them out fast at Full Moon, and this is from writer director William Butler. And in this, the bloodthirsty baby is back after being possessed by the powers of darkness and enabling Baby Oopsie's grisly killing spree. Sybil snaps to her senses and vows to save her demon-possessed friend, Ray Ray, while doing battle with two new tiny terrors hell-bent on opening the gates of toy hell. You want me to go first?
Please.
Cool, cool. All right. So I'm just going to say, first off, fuck Full Moon for opening up with the baby eating SpaghettiOs.
I knew you were
that was hard for me to. I love you. I love you, Full Moon. But yeah, call back. If you're going to have a kid and you're going to let them eat that, and I know this is not a standard kid, but
Dan,
still.
I do not want this to become a platform for your weird phobia. Can we just not save that for our fuck
kids'
show.
Face off? Look, I'm sitting in a restaurant. I shouldn't have to look at your like fucking snot-nosed brat with sauce all over his face. It's anxiety inducing. It's annoying.
Okay, Dan, get off soapbox. Come on, talk about the movie now.
All right, I'll talk about the movie now, Todd. But I'm just saying it bothers me. But anyways, so they do a really good job in this one of making what is a very tiny, small budget movie feel big, which I think a lot of later Puppet Master movies have unfortunately struggled to do. A lot of those look cheaper and smaller, and it just kind of depressing. This is mostly a one location film that they do a lot of big things with in this one. There's some crossover stuff that I think is really cool. I think that this is surprisingly good. Full Moon's been churning out some fun stuff. Once again, I should say for Full Moon fans, if you don't like their style, I don't necessarily think this will win you over, but I laughed my ass off when we got Sybil and Ray Ray in the gimp suits, that opening, that opening Tinder couples date thing was hilarious. I think Ray dropping the line where he's talking with the girls, like talking, I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework, Daddy. That is going to haunt my dreams forever. Legitimately. We get some pretty creative, albeit low budget kills. Crisco comes into the mix. I popped hard for the lot for when Baby Oopsie starts going patty cake, dirty whore before she. I like this a lot. It made me laugh. If you are a Full Moon fan, I think this one is just awesome. Baby Oopsie is awesome. Better than Evil Bong, Todd. I'm sorry. I know you're an Evil Bong fan.
Better than Subspecies. It's okay.
It's not better than
Subspecies. Oh my God. Yes, it is.
It might be better than the new Subspecies does scare me because that needs a little bit more of a budget.
Well, they're currently filming the Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bolorama 2. They dropped some stills. I think
they can pull that off.
Look at something like Freak. Yeah. And if we do something like that, Full Moon, I think it could be fun. Yeah. But yeah, I think this actually improves a little bit on the original one, or maybe it's because we get more time and more characters. It's still no Demonic Toys, but out of the single ones, yeah, I think it's worth your time, and it's streaming on Full Moon if you have it right now. I don't know when it'll pop up in Tubi when they do the movie version, because it is broken up into four parts.
Yeah,
and I know we have another. Which one's coming up next? The sequel to the Cam Girl one, the Attack of the 50-Foot.
Yeah, that's on the way. Do you think that do we already have Cowboy Roy and Frowny Clowny merch yet? Because I'm sure
I don't think we do yet. Okay. Ben likes the cowboy Oopsie.
Yeah. I was a little surprised because like we already have Six Shooter. There has to be some kind of versus movie coming if this tests well. But yeah, one minor criticism, a lot of the one-liners from Baby Oopsie are hilarious, but also a little bit mumbled at times. There was a few, like I was struggling to kind of understand what she, like, I loved, like, can we go get chicken fingers and then kill the drive-through lady? There's a whole bunch of like just little lines that I thought were hilarious, but there were others where I was like, I can't quite tell exactly what was said, but I think this is a winner, actually, Todd. Full Moon's kind of found a formula to do these cheap and still satisfy the fans.
I did really like this, and Pugs was, it's fun, but the charm wore off a little. So,
okay. Maybe in movie form.
Yeah. I know we tend to wait till the end to watch them. I know I got to jump ahead because I wish they just let us know if it's going to be a 2, 3, or 4-parter going in.
Yeah, it's just annoying as fuck when you're trying to review it.
Because then they'll just drop the whole thing like the last Cam Girl movie. So, I get it. You want to keep subscribers, and the longer they do it, the longer you'll stay. But
it also, the split doesn't work for everything.
Yeah.
Like the Cam Girl, I was like, now wait. It just feels.
There was no split on that one, Dan.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Piranha.
Yeah, that one did have a split.
My bad. Yeah. And I was just like, this would have just flowed a little bit better. They do. This is okay. I didn't mind it. Space out the action fairly well, but I watched it all at once. That's usually what I'm going to choose to do.
I actually watched the first two thinking there was two. And then I rewatched the whole thing when the fourth one dropped. So, but yeah. So what would you give this one, Dan?
I give this one 3.5. I really liked it a lot. Not perfect, but overall, I think this is excellent. I'd even for Full Moon, I'm going to go 4. Actually, if you like Full Moon, if you don't like Full Moon, obviously, you know, this isn't for you already.
I'm an easy 4 on this one. It's right up my alley. This, I like shock, and this like fits that niche. Yeah. But Pugs is a 2.5.
Okay. Sybil and Ray Ray are money. Like, they need to get them in other. We need Sybil and Ray Ray meet Barbie and Kendra.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Somehow they need to make that happen.
I really want another Barbara and Kendra movie, even as dumb as they are and just they're dubbing and looping. I had fun with those.
Yeah. So. We'll make it happen. But yeah, Full Moon fans, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I really did. I had a ton of fun with that.
Okay. Well, I think next up we have a little picture I don't think anyone's seen before.
Yes. A Screambox original.
No, Dan, I was joking. It's Jaws time.
Oh, my bad. All right. That's I didn't know where Jaws was being placed.
Yeah.
And you froze there for a second.
Okay, so sorry. It's Jaws time.
Trying to interpret what you were going to say. No, my bad.
That's no problem.
Jaws time. So, Todd, Jaws, and you saw it in IMAX 3D?
Prime 3D, but that's AMC's generic IMAX.
Okay.
Even though they have real IMAX. So, but the only place near me was Prime 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So. They did have it in IMAX at other theaters, but
yeah,
no, I needed 3D.
Yeah, I saw it in XD, which is like Cinemark's version of IMAX.
Yeah. And do the seats move on that one?
No, that's D-Box.
There's actually another one. There's 4DX you went to ScreenX.
No, I went to Cinemark and it was XD 3D.
Okay, then there's 4DX. That's the one that moves and stuff. And then there's ScreenX 4DX that does a bunch of shit. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't have the option for all that, but they don't have that shit at my theater. They just have, like, D-Box.
See, this is the problem I was having, Ben. Watch Jaws on IMAX so mad now because I wish I watched it in 3D. Our theater offered in IMAX or 3D. That was my problem, and I lucked out that I found Prime 3D. But most theaters here were playing it one or the other. Most theaters, most places were one or the other. So, I mean.
Yeah, I was happy I got to see it, you know, XD and 3D. It was cool to have the, you know, the big screen with the 3D picture.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, most people know the movie. You don't really have to tell you the plot.
Yeah.
Because this is more on the technical level. The 3D conversion was amazing.
So good. Mm-hmm.
I think it's because Phantom Menace had like a shitty one. I think this is up there with like the T2 conversion, the Titanic conversion. Just it has that. It felt like it because was almost composed for 3D. But what a lot of people don't know about modern 3D movies is about 90%+ of them are shot flat and converted 2D post. Like Piranha 3D is a big one. There's actually one thing I noticed that shows off that it's a conversion in both of them, and it's the same thing. So I'll just say this real quick. The only thing that my eye caught was a conversion was there's a shot when they're about to board the Orca and they're walking by all these grates, and you can see the depth isn't right because they're just passing by it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It's a similar thing in Piranha 3D when they pass the fences. It doesn't look right because of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
But it was literally like they walked by 3 seconds. But I was like, I could tell. Okay, that's the nerd shit. The movie itself, I mean.
Well, yeah.
there isn't, but.
Perfect film, right? I think we would all agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did notice something, a couple things I had never noticed before on the giant screen. So, I don't. Did you notice anything, Kruger, different? Or anything you had noticed before?
There's just a couple of like shots that were underwater of Jaws that my brain just didn't remember. Okay. And then seeing it on the big screen, you know, with the big picture, and there's subtle shots too of just him kind of appearing underwater, but you still see him. And, that's really the biggest thing I noticed. But what about you? I was going to say,
you know, the scale also is something like you could when Jaws passes the orca.
Oh, yeah,
it's like you really get that feel of how.
Well, and the same when he's attacking what's his name, Hooper, attacking who in the shark cage.
Oh yeah, okay. You know the part at the end where the shark's twisting all around the cage.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually like
a real shark. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, yeah, there's two shot or there's actually another shot in the movie where you could tell it's a real shark too.
Yeah. Well, there's a few real shark spots, but I mean that one in particular was a fuck
up. Yeah, that one and it was a fuck up, but it looked great, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Poor shark. The shark probably got fucked up, but
okay, the things I noticed, and I don't know how I never noticed this before, but okay, I guess that's a spoiler. I guess this comes later, but whatever. I know. When Quint gets eaten at the end, I never notice he has the machete.
The machete? Yeah. I always remembered him having it, but I didn't notice him jabbing it into fucking Jaws' like cheek like that.
Yeah, because they make sure you know it's there, like he throws it in the thing, but like, yeah, you can actually see it, and it's like almost all the way in. So I was like, okay, I've never noticed that. But the big one I never noticed is a running gag through the thing with the mayor. He, throughout it, you know, beaches open, all that stuff. But if you watch him, he's always smoking a cigarette, but it's a plastic cigarette. It's one of those, you know, 70s, you know, stop smoking aids. So, and you'll, it looks like a cigarette. It's white plastic, has the, you know, the brown on the thing, but he's, you'll see him when he smokes, that's what he's smoking. Except after Bruce attacks on, and everyone's in the pond and his kids are there and all that stuff. When they're in the hospital and they actually accept what, you know, he actually accepts what's going on. That's the only time he's smoking a real cigarette. Cause that's like, you know, fuck this. I'm going to have a real cigarette.
Yeah.
That, and that little moment, like I've never noticed the whole build to it. And that, like, I was like, all right. Yeah.
Makes that sense. Really,
yeah.
Pretty much everybody I've talked to that did go see it. It's like, man, I noticed the same thing. Same, just stuff never saw before.
And yeah, I watched it on 100 in screen normally. And I still didn't notice half this stuff.
Yeah. The one thing that, like, I had never seen Jaws on the big screen, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And just being able to do that, like, I've only been able to do it with a few of my favorite ever. And I'm glad I got to, and seeing it in three, like the thing I like about watching like a classic in 3D too, is just everything pops more. So you just know there's so much more detail and like the background and just little things you never noticed before that, or just things that wouldn't pop if you're just watching it, you know, on a 50-inch screen at home.
It's you know, I did notice a couple of flaws I didn't notice on the screen also. It's something that I'm really conscious of now for some reason. When they're doing the two shot and talking back and forth, and we do the old over the shoulder and we see the, you know, the person, and the person's back to is responding, like sometimes I can tell that that's not what they're saying. And it like jumps out to my eye. Now I can tell it's, you know, mishmashed together, but, yeah, I don't know what else I could say to put over Jaws. It's
It's just, if you had the opportunity to watch it, I mean, you would know it's a great theater experience for sure. Yeah,
we do have a Jaws franchise show, by the way, little go back a ways, but yeah, for our opinions on all the movies.
I'll throw it in the chat in a moment. I'm trying to think if there's anything else like that jumps out. I mean, yeah, it was great looking. I don't think anyone here's, am I putting words in everyone's mouth if this is not one big haul, all fives?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Sure. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a 70s movie. It doesn't, it's just, it is, which is not a bad thing, but it is just timeless. I think people will watch this and have the same reactions another 60 years from now.
I heard people in the audience who obviously hadn't seen it before, like reacting.
That's cool. That's cool to see if people experience it the first time.
It made me miss my child, because there was a lot of fathers and sons, you know, taking their kid to see Jaws for the first time. And when the movie was done, the theater applauded. So that was really cool.
Nice. Yeah. No, it's a perfect film, much like Psycho, and you know, there's not a lot of those, but it really is a perfect film. And I wish I had had time to see it. I assume it was it just the week run?
No, there's still some this week, so I think you have until tomorrow. You know, today might have been the last day because new schedules,
probably. But yeah, I just couldn't make it out. But
I wish Jaws 2 was a better movie. I rewatched that
after I watched Jaws the second time. It's all right. It's an obvious step down. Now when we talk about the real sequel, Jaws 3D, I don't want to say the real Jaws 3D, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to love that movie. It is my favorite 3D movie ever. Fucking they turned Jaws into fucking Jason. Why am I not going to love?
So, okay. They're talking in the chat like some favorite Jaws ripoffs or shark movies.
Orca is mine.
Yeah, and that's Pugs too. Orca.
Orca is a badass movie. I love Orca.
You
so
know what?
Much.
Do we have to redo our Jaws show because we didn't include Jaws 5?
Oh, cruel Jaws. I mean, cruel I'm Jaws. Down. I wasn't on the Jaws franchise show, so. Well,
maybe we'll have you weren't. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like right before I joined.
But
we'll do it in the future again.
Yeah, although I am shark movied out. I will say that.
Well, and that'll be great for next week when we talk about Man Eater.
Oh man!
Yeah. Oh fuck! We do have one next week, don't we?
Christmas shark movie. Yeah, Santa Jaws is so good. Jaws the Revenge. No, you know what? We'll do a watch along this Christmas.
Jaws 3, love in the chat there. I agree. Jaws 3 is a very entertaining movie.
I'm going to probably watch that sumbitch tonight or tomorrow. Now. I've watched 1 and 2. Then I'll save 4 for Christmas, Ben, and we can do a watch along on the channel.
Oh yeah, maybe right. Santa Jaws I haven't watched will be four. A Christmas special. That's come up a lot, so maybe we'll...
And we'll do both.
Do something. A
couple
there.
Sunday commentaries. Yeah, 5-5. We're all... I guess we can move on, unless we want to...
Yeah, we have sucked Jaws
dry.
Right. Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
He's a filet of fish at this point. We all right. So our next movie is
Before this, I don't know if you guys remember on the chat I mentioned this. I'm gonna have a complaint about this movie that no one else is gonna have. At least our four. I don't know about the chat, and this is kind of weird. Because it kind of folds back into your phobia thing with the spaghetti.
All right. Well,
it's not really a phobia, but it's something that bothered me for a different reason. All right. So that's my tease. I know I brought it up in our private chat. So we'll get to that when we get to me. So.
All right. So Pussycake, a.k.a. Emesis, is an Argentine horror film that from director Pablo Perez that follows a struggling all-girl rock band goes on tour and discover their worst problem is not just being forgotten by their fans as they stumble into another dimension filled with evil. Sorry, that's English was not like the first, so I did my best to fix that. But yes, basically the band stumbles into a situation where there's a portal that opens and brings some parasites that like to attach themselves to our heads and turn us into zombie-like monsters. Before I get into the review, just a little background on this one, because I didn't realize when I was first watching it, but the director also directed the Plaga Zombie series. There's four of those now, and I believe the first three are coming out from Severin on a Blu-ray set that I actually pre-ordered. The Plaga Zombie films, really gory, low budget, a lot of fun. I always really enjoyed those, and this is also kind of a theme, like a girl band horror films now. It's kind of a subgenre. Jess Franco's Killer Barbies, Luigi Cozzi's Paganini Horror, Stump the Band is another one I remember. It's quite a few. Uncle, Vicious Lips, if you want to go into the sci-fi realm.
Uncle Pecker wasn't female band. I know there's female band members.
Uncle Peckerhead.
Sure. It had, I think it had two females in it.
Okay, close.
Yeah, it's also not female, but I always name Wild Zero. That movie is awesome.
Ooh, yes.
Wild Zero is a batshit must-see movie. So just suggesting other shit, but it kind of fits this movie. So Wild Zero, though, top of your fucking list. And I think people have heard of like Hard Rock Zombies, Roses, etc.
Yeah, Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat, yeah.
A little different, but
so just name dropping a few for you guys. Krueger. Did you like the pussy cake?
Did it complete?
Jesus Christ.
Did it score?
So, God damn it, Dan. Anyways, so one thing I was seeing about like some of the marketing of this movie is like they were like, if you like Psycho Goreman, you'll like this. Uh-oh. I didn't understand that comparison at all, to be honest with you. And I didn't really like this. Like, there's things this movie does right. It has great gore and kills throughout it. But just the story to me got boring at points just because I'm so zombied out. And then when they bring in Mr. Mortal Kombat looking character, it wasn't as cool as I wanted it to be, I guess. And it just didn't work for me. Whereas, you know, on paper, it probably should. But again, maybe I was just in a weird mood. And there's one thing that I kind of have beef with this movie about. And there's a scene where, like, there's a depiction of abuse going on with one of our characters. And it is just, to me, hokey as fuck and just not convincing. And there's times where you want to, like, really feel for these characters, but then the way they execute the way you're supposed to feel for them, it doesn't resonate. And overall, you know, it's not a terrible movie, but it's not anything I would recommend, and I stand by it. I don't understand the Psycho Goreman comparison at all.
Maybe this movie doesn't like fully explain everything and some of its lore. I can kind of see it a little bit. I would have just said 28 Days Later meets early Peter Jackson. Maybe that's a little closer. It's not as batshit as you'd expect by the title. I will say that, but I had a lot of fun with it. But before I get into it, though, Todd, what did you think?
I had a good time with it.
They treated you well.
Yes.
Okay. You got to give me your phobia first before I tag in.
Well, that's going to be it's not really a phobia. It's something that bothers me. Other than this, which I don't think it's going to affect my rating, but I didn't hear that Psycho Goreman thing. I get hearing that ahead of time would have kind of like changed my opinion. I kind of went in knowing nothing. I know we talked about this when it got announced because the name is memorable.
The trailer looked good too.
Yeah,
we watched it.
So I think I was happy with it. It may not be one I watch often. Spare Parts. Yeah, that was another one.
Didn't like that one either.
Did not. That's right. It shouldn't it be Dan who doesn't like these?
I know, right?
Okay, now my phobia. It's not a phobia. It's something that bothers me. It like audio. There is so many squeak high nails on the chalkboard on this. Like I squint. Every time it happened, it was driving me insane. And then that noise for like 20 minutes was just there, and that pitch, and it would fuck with my inner ear the whole time. It was fucking driving me insane. So, see, as I said, I was going to be the only one who had this issue. Because, like, high-pitched nails on chalkboard sound in my old age.
I thought it was pretty badly. Bukkake thing.
No, see, it's not, like I said, it's not really a phobia. It's an audio. Yeah, nails on chalkboard drives me insane.
About the Bukkake fucking vomit, though. to me, it just looked like it didn't look gross because it was like, okay, you guys are just using like a bunch of like thick, you know, milky substance. Right. I think it would have been grosser if they're like puke and shit color. I mean, if we want to get nasty with it, but
yeah.
Like I said, this one, I did have a lot of fun. I think it's a very lively, simple thing. It doesn't over explain. There's one character that comes into it, a sort of creature, whatever you want to call it, alien, whatever. They don't really explain any of that at all. But I also feel like sequels are probably planned. There's four. I've only seen three, but there's four Plaga Zombie movies now. So
with the Screen Box app, I can see that happening for sure.
Yeah, I get a strong vibe that we're going to get more. Argentina, lately, we've had Virus 32 was one that I liked. I remember
that. That was really good, I thought.
Yeah, Last Matinee, which I know was like Uruguay, but I think it was also an Argentina co-production. those are should definitely be checked out.
Welcome to Hell, which just came out, is fucking fantastic.
I think that we're talking about that next week or the week after.
Oh, okay.
Cool. It's on the schedule.
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I don't know. They didn't have to over-explain it. I really enjoyed it. We get some decent, the lesbian couple get a little bit of character development with them, but this one really kind of hits the ground running. I was interested, and I would be down for a sequel, to be honest. Also, a little bit more from the beginning with the missing scientist dad and the son and everything. I feel like there's a lot more to explore in this universe, and I would imagine the director's gonna do more. But I got enough. It's like I said, not it is a wild movie, but not as wild as I was expecting from this director and Pussy Cake, but
which was also part of the problem with Spare Parts. We thought it was gonna be a lot more crazy.
Yeah.
I like Spare Parts, if I remember.
I did too, but I probably liked it about as much as this.
Yeah.
So
So yeah. Check it out on Screambox. Anything else to say before we rate it?
Know what you're rating, Dan.
I give this one 3.5 stars. I actually liked it a lot. It's a lot of fun. How about you, Kruger?
Our Pugs Kruger.
I am a 2 out of 5.
I am a 3.5 out of 5, and Pugs is a 3.5 out of 5. So
it's also Raven Banner. So you never know, Horror Pack, you might get a Blu-ray of this. And I'm glad, Pugs, if you're listening, hope you're feeling better, and glad you enjoyed the Pussy Cake.
Yeah, Ben brought up that Bloody Disgusting bought Screambox and thinks they're tapped into the South American horror. They also put out
last That's minute. Great. Yeah.
But no, you can tell Bloody Disgusting's trying to really make this competition for
Shudder, yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean, Shudder's been on top for a while. I'm all for some friendly competition. And you know, Screambox, why it's not on the level of Shudder right now, I can't see it eventually getting there as long as they pick up some big titles. And Terrifier 2 is getting put on Screambox. So, I mean, that's a huge goddamn deal.
Review coming soon. Yes.
If Terrifier I was Bloody Disgusting, I would fucking reach out to Elvira and do a weekly show to counter-program Joe Bob. Not in the same weeks.
That would be smart, but Elvira's kind of already done stuff with Shudder, so they have that working relationship.
They did one show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's
no contract for that.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying though, like, you know, I feel like she may, you know, be cool with Shudder, so who knows if she would do that. But I'm down for that. I'm down for that, or you know, dude, for some reason part of me just wants Bill Moseley to start hosting horror shows. like seriously, I could listen to that guy talk all fucking day. So like if he just like started hosting, even if he's just doing like specials with his own movies, I'd love to fucking watch that shit.
Yeah, and shout out Jamie and Chris Slasher Home Video in the chat. Subscribe to Slasher Home Video if you guys haven't already. Also, anybody else in the chat see the Pussy Cake yet? Did you like the Pussy Cake?
All right.
You just tried to say Pussy Cake as much as you can in one show.
And then if I put the description in the thing, he's going to be mad. Or did I? It doesn't even matter.
It runs together. It's all right.
It's not like our missing show. Oh, can't be back in a few days. I'll bitch about it in the post show.
So we're going to get into TV terror talk now, guys. American Horror Stories.
Wait, Kruger. No. Are you?
Yep,
I'm okay, in. All of us.
Okay. Okay, all of us. Sweet. So we won't. This is TV Terror Talk, so there's spoilers. They might be a little lighter depending on the on the episode, but there are spoilers now. So if you're picky and don't wish American Horror Stories, the anthology series, to be spoiled for you, you've been warned. So the first episode, which is actually episode 6 of season 2, and sorry, I'm on the wrong one, is Facelift. And in Facelift, we follow Virginia Mallow. Virginia Mallow will pay anything to regain her beauty. She discovers that she has to when she's directed to a plastic surgeon, Dr. Enid Pearl, who has a complicated and secretive procedure to restore Virginia's face and body to what it was. So before I get into this one, I was pleasantly surprised. Kruger, you're kind of young, so I don't know that you're going to...
God damn it. I was wondering how long was it to take for a goddamn dated Who's the Boss reference. Go ahead, Dan.
Judith Light from Who's the Boss, which is awesome. Angela Bauer.
Come on. This is where Alyssa Milano came from.
Kruger was busy being born. Yeah.
Do you not know Alyssa Milano?
No.
Damn, Dan. Do you feel old now?
damn. I'm bad with names. I'd have to see a face.
Fuck.
Did you watch Charmed? Maybe you're.
Fuck no.
There's a very good song.
Do I look like I watched Charmed, Dan? Come on.
There's you a might have good... as a kid.
There's a very good song from Duke of the Darkroom Family. I just want to fuck Alyssa Milano. I do recommend you all go listen. You know, maybe it'll drop in the chat in a minute.
Oh my god!
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Jess Graham in the chat knows who's the boss. So yeah, we got some who's the boss.
Now Dan feels relevant.
It's who's the. It ran from 84 to 92.
Yeah, I'm a decade younger than you,
okay? Dan. That you understand it ended 30 years ago, right?
It did, but it still repeats, Todd.
What channels are repeat on, Dan?
I don't know today, but it had repeats after 92. Absolutely. It's a popular 30 years, fucking Dan. Show. Yeah, I know, but still. But Judith Light, I think, looks good. I think she still looks great. She's in her, I think she's like 73, I believe, well, and I'm still looking fantastic. So.
Well, she got rid of men, so maybe that's helping her. I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Don't know what Tony Danza is looking like these days. I haven't seen him in anything.
He still looks
in a while.
Like Tony Danza.
Still looks like Tony Danza. So facelift. What did you think about this one, Kruger?
So the opening scene where we get Virginia washing her face with her own piss definitely interested me. I was just like, all right, we're already off to a batshit start. Let's see where this goes. And to see her character's internal struggle with her own youth. You know, just fading away because she's old now. And you know, the whole plastic surgeon angle and also, like, the fact that her husband died and left all this debt. She doesn't have money to get this plastic surgery, but she's fucking going and doing it anyways because she's so obsessed with her self-image. All of that was pretty interesting for me. But once it's, like, revealed that, you know, she's basically set up to be a sacrifice for a cult, and the story takes the turn with her daughter being set up in the whole thing, it kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. I did like a good part of it. Like once we got that big reveal of the pig nose,
very Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It reminded me of something you'd see in the Twilight Zone, but then the twist just didn't work for me. And then the, you know, thing where she's a teacher and one of her students is a part of the cult. Ooh, that's supposed to be such a great ending. And I was just like, yeah, that kind of sucked. But overall, it's not bad, but I wish it would have brought it home with something stronger than what we got.
Yeah, I was into the story too, but I kind of do agree at the end. It kind of, I didn't hate it. It's still, you know, I'm still really enjoying this season. The ending could have been a little better, but it wasn't enough to sour me on it.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, I love Judith Light, you know, kind of grew up on her. So I'm a bit, you know, I'm inclined to like this because I was like, oh, Judith Light, well, this is awesome.
Good news, Dan. Just found out 2 seasons of Who's the Boss are on Tubi.
There you go.
So sweet. Now all the young people can watch it.
Yeah, you can. You can watch. You can enjoy that awesomeness. So, you know, you kind of got the Wasp woman set up. It's a very basic story. The reveal is kind of like, whatever. I'm not going to lie. This episode is not great, but you might have fun with it. The story's kind of stupid. The story sucks. I'm not even going to lie. This one was weird. It didn't even
maybe another LA thing, the plastic surgery part. I don't know.
No, I get it. I love, hey, I'm a Wasp woman guy. You know, it's a simple premise. Once we kind of got that reveal, I was like, yeah, I was kind of hoping there was going to be a different kind of twist. This is another one that's, I mean, there really isn't much of a twist, to be honest. It's just, it's so underwhelming.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be something about her face. I mean, the twist, you knew something was coming.
Well, yeah, of course. And then I'm like, huh, that's it. This should have been like a 22-minute like episode or something. Like you could have told this whole story. It didn't warrant 45 or whatever it clocked in as. I didn't hate it because, again, I do love Judith Light, and she's amazing in this. It's just the story did kind of suck. This is definitely not one of the better episodes for me. I don't know. The whole pig thing was just kind of like, this is kind of lame. This one is a myth.
I just liked it because it reminded me of the Twilight Zone me episode. Too.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool makeup.
And so, 20, like I said, 22 minutes might have worked a little bit better. But
yeah. And even with this, there's, because these are made for Hulu. They don't have to be 45. They could make it a 30-minute one if they wanted to.
You know, yeah, why the hell not?
But I think they do like them, the option to syndicate to later.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right.
I'm going to introduce the next one and grab one thing because I have a suggestion, actually, for people with the next episode. But I'll intro it first and pass it to you guys just for a second, and the next one is, one second here, lots
Necro.
Is Necro, which this one, follows a young mortician who discovers the living are more terrifying than the dead. And I'll let you elaborate a little bit more on that, Todd, and I'll be right back in just one moment.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I wasn't prepared at all. Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, I mean, he already intro'd it, so I can go. Don't worry about it.
Or Krueger.
Yeah. Anyways, I did like the main character, just the way she seems at the beginning of just loving her job as a mortician and just being this great person, the way she talks to the dead as they're coming in. Like, it was really heartwarming. And then, you know, you see this little romance spark come into play with the, you know, this new character that's bringing the bodies in. And it was kind of cute, for lack of a better term, but then you find out she has a fucking fiance. And I was just like, oh, okay, so she's she's a little scandalous. And then my love for her started to, you know, fade away, especially once she gets to the point where she cheats on her fiance with a, what she thought was a dead corpse.
Is that cheating? It's cheating, okay. For sure. I mean, if it really was a corpse, that's
once there's penetration, it's cheating, even if they're dead.
Everyone has different definitions. Just curious. No corpses if you're Krueger's lady. Just telling you guys that now.
But one thing I'll say is, like, the one scene she has with that character where they're just talking about how they both have dead families, like, I was really feeling that connection. And then when you find out the way it affected her daily life and her relationship with her mother, that was like just totally super fucked up and compelling. And overall, I actually really liked this episode a lot. Even though, you know, the character, she's definitely a flawed character. You do still feel for her, even though she's making all those mistakes. It makes sense because of how fucked up her life was. And I thought the final shot of, you know, for lack of a better term, these two weirdos making love in that grave. I mean, that, it was a just great tragic moment to end the episode. And yeah, this whole thing was just an awesome, weird, tragic, romantic story that surprised the fuck out of me.
See, I told you, like, if you're going to watch one, watch this one.
Yeah.
But I still didn't know exactly where you were going to land on it. Yeah. Because I think it could have went either way. I'm really glad you liked it. I really liked it too. Our lead, Madison Iceman, she's also in, you know, my favorite Annabelle film, Annabelle Comes Home. And if you watch more mainstream, oh well, that is pretty mainstream. If you watch more non-horror stuff, she's Bethany in both of the Jumanji Rock movies also. But
oh shit, yeah.
Yeah. So Dan, what did you think?
All right, so before I get into the episode, I have a book recommendation because it actually fits this storyline quite a bit. Now, this is of the most extreme of extreme variety, and that is Chandler Morrison's The Dead Inside. If you like extreme horror, this is a must read. It is disgusting, but very well written. And
deals with our subject matter of tonight's episode.
Oh, it delves into even a lot more twisted stuff than that. But yes, it does fit the storyline of Necro totally once again.
So if you got a half chub from the episode, you get a full chub from the book.
If you get saying. If you get even a half chub from the book, I'm pretty sure you will be arrested immediately. there's something wrong. That's like talk to your therapist. But well, here I am with the book. So
I know now I kind of want to read it, Dan.
No, I'm not overhyping this, and I don't know if we have any like horror booktube people in the chat. But Dead Inside, read it. If you read it, let me know what you think.
We got to get Dan cleared to read us the audiobook,
yeah, right? Dude. I mean, again, I'll just say it's a hospital security guard, and it's a romance. It's a romance, finding true love, and true love can be seriously fucked up. So yeah, Kruger, you should read it too, honestly. Pugs, if you're still listening,
I just feel like I need to give a shout out to Dead Girl and move on.
Oh, dude, yeah, Dead Girl is the shit. I love that fucking movie.
Watch Along this October.
Dead Girl, Trent Haga, Dead Girl is amazing. I still have, like, one issue with it, but I love that movie
Maybe,
so much.
Yeah, I kind of want to do a Patreon Watch Along. I think that has to be Patreon.
I'm down.
Dead Girl, yeah, Dead Girl's Patreon all the way. This, though, I mean, Dead Girl's way more fucked up than Necro, and this is even more fucked up than Dead Girl, so... yeah, that I am not overhyping it. You guys need to read that. Pugs, you must read it. Just let's just consider this. I know it's not a full on review. Let's just consider this the September Flesh Wound Book Club read right there. So, anyways, Necro. I like this one a lot. I have seen sort of similar themes before, but I think the lead, as you guys already had mentioned, Madison Iceman was really likable, and the chemistry with the other actor I thought was there. It really worked. I'm actually going to be weird with this one because I said the other one should have been 22 minutes. This might have benefited from being a little bit longer.
You would have liked the feature length on this one.
I think there could have been a little bit more between the characters, which would have made it even more effective. I mean, it tells a complete story. It gets to where it wants to be. But I would have liked a little more the family, the groom and everything. I think they could have gotten a little bit more. Again, I'm not saying it doesn't paint a complete picture. It's just this one I could have used a little bit more. It's not I wouldn't call it a fantastic episode. It could have gone a little bit harder, and I'm surprised it didn't.
American Horror Stories doesn't really go that hard, do you think, though?
There's been a few that have gone, they could have pushed some things a little bit more in this one, I think. But, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This one felt a little bit more safe than it needed to be. Maybe that was an actress thing, I don't know. But... yeah, I think the last scene redeems it for me. It's not the best episode this season, though. It's starting to become a little bit more 50-50 now with American Horror Story.
See, this season I've liked the whole way through pretty much. I know we don't really rate on these, but Pugs sent me a comment on him. And he disappeared. So as I'm stalling for time, he said, American Horror Stories is doing its thing. I'm enjoying these episodes more than not. So he's kind of on par with me on that.
Jess Graham is mentioning, this episode making him want to rewatch the Poison Ivy movies. No, you should.
Right. Did we do a show on those, or do we never actually pull the trigger?
I don't think we did. We just got busy. I think it was like last Halloween. It was just like, man, it's just no time. Shout out, Sanjo.
Stink of Flesh. There's another one.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Maybe we'll have a theme commentary theme. Just,
it's Corpse Fucker Month on Features. All the corpse fucking you could.
Oh, but I can't do Todd Vember. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
But that wasn't a real suggestion there, Todd. But
we're definitely doing a watch along for Dead Girl on Patreon.
We can make Dead Girl happen on Patreon. Is it streaming? Is it that one might be a little rougher.
We'll figure it out. I'll go through.
I think it may be on Tubi. I'm not sure though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There is an unrated, the Blu-ray I know is unrated. There's a rated cut of that too, so we'd have to figure that. But
it's easy to check on runtimes.
Dead Girl coming soon.
Well, actually, Dan, that's not physically possible, but.
God damn it. Anyways.
It took me a second, but that's funny, Todd.
It's actually on Vudu free with ads.
Okay. The worst fucking ads ever.
You're telling me these like cut in like halfway.
When we were watching, what was it?
Masters of Horrors.
No, the other one, the one that came out.
What was that other one called?
The one with the worst fucking theme song in the goddamn world. What the hell was it called?
I'm at a point where I forget movies faster.
No, it's not a movie.
You knew that was fear itself.
Yeah, the worst.
I didn't think I still had it on there.
Yeah, no. When
I love that. I think that's a great song.
When I was watching that, Vudu would just cut at like the worst times. It would never be the commercial times, but then they would cut during the commercial times too. It's like an ad every fucking 10, like probably 6 minutes.
But, all right, so we'll avoid that. All right, well, shit. Oh, do we have spoilers?
Well, we did them.
Dan, you did have something that you wanted to say, a trauma movie about.
Oh. Well, that doesn't really matter.
You know what? If you know Dan, you know which trauma movie it is.
Yeah.
While I do enjoy the film, it's not, I don't even really think about it as a trauma film, even though it is.
It's a pickup.
Yeah, but. But it's still definitely one. But yeah. So there you go. You got hints. Just ask Dan. He'll tell you. Put it in the chat if you want.
All right.
I think that's about everything. But some plugs. Please. Sunday we will have more Patreon content. We're getting to the end of Monsters now. It's almost time for Rob Zombie's Monsters. So go back. We've covered everything at this point, so naturally it's time to get to the parody.
I know Ben was asking about something. You guys, I may not just blank it out to the patrons. You may need to ask me if you need that something. It's a little different. So
word,
little different, but yeah, we'll have that on Sunday. And once again, guys, October is upon us. Well. It's early September, but it's essentially upon us. We're going to have a ton of content. Keep an eye out for our Hellraiser franchise show, which is going to be huge. Night of the Demons with a special guest. We also have that franchise show along with a ton of reviews. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out. We've got Terrifier 2 coming. Don't Fuck in the Woods 2. Don't Fuck in the Woods Again. I think.
Well, or two, T-O-O, but no, we got two.
Yeah, just should have been a game.
It's old school. I'm okay with it. They're doing Roman numerals. I accept that.
Yeah, that works. That works. God, what else? Hocus Pocus 2.
Good Night Mommy the week after. We have Good Night Mommy.
We have Barbarian, Bart Pearl. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff.
Barbarians next week.
Yeah, are you guys going?
Oh, tomorrow? You know what, Ben? I totally forgot. We were supposed to do Mockingbird Lane also.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have to do a double up on.
Yeah, because that's a short one. Maybe we'll, you know what we'll do?
If this works, we can do Mockingbird Lane first on regular, you know, YouTube. Then we'll do our Patreon watch along for the other Munsters one.
Okay, that works. So more Munsters content and all that good stuff. I think I've promoted everything. I am seeing Barbarian tomorrow. I'm very excited about that.
So, oh yeah, Jeepers Creepers 4, that's coming up too. I think we're gonna move along.
Yeah, Terrifier 2 will be really.
And Daily Ghost, I do remember the movie Poison Ivy with Michael J. Fox and Joe from Packs of Life. I remember watching that on TV when it aired. So
you old son of a bitch.
It was weird though, because I couldn't accept him not as what the fuck, Mike. Alex B. Keaton, it was like a weird time. So it was like he was playing a different character. I was young. It was just like didn't work. I liked it better when I got older. Ben Grimm, seeing Barbarian tomorrow. There was early screenings today too. I can't wait till I can talk about it. Wait, can I technically? I probably could, but
yeah, well, you get that next week. We're doing it, team.
Todd's been waiting to talk about it. Yeah. Yes, we do have a lot in common. Old.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I Who's the Boss is a little old for me too. But again, I watched reruns of all this.
Yeah, stuff, it came up earlier. It was on WB or not WB, WGN a lot.
Yeah, WGN. Was it FX used to have a bunch of stuff. I don't know if they had Who's the Boss or not, but yeah, those channels were a little bit different back in the day. Nick at Night, of course, had everything. So. On that note, we're talking classic TV here, so it's probably time.
I did have one other thing real quick.
Go for it.
I did start watching Tales of the Walking Dead, the anthology series. Mm-hmm. I'm one episode in, and I'm liking it. I forgot the gimmick was they have, like, stars on it. So, like, the first episode was Terry Crews and Olivia Wilde.
Oh, wow.
Was Olivia Wilde? I'm 90% sure. No, the other one. Fuck, not Olivia Wilde. I get those two mixed up. I can't
that other her name. Woman.
Yeah, that other woman with black hair, and I know I could look it up, but I'm trying to just. But no, yeah, I watched the first episode. I was like, all right, I want to check out the next one. I don't know. I'd rather watch this, like, different weekly little zombie stories than, you know, another new series. I think it's a fun little different than just Fear or, well.
I don't mind an anthology, and that they've had a lot. I just have never really gotten to the webisodes, and
I never really did either. But yeah, the Tales from the Walking Dead, yeah, it's worth checking out. It's on the, you know,
what could get me to watch it is if it was streaming in order somewhere like Shudder or something, just. You know,
well, there's only like four episodes so far, Dan.
No, there were webisodes along.
Oh, okay, you're talking about the webisodes, yeah.
Yeah, we've had webisodes since I think at least season 3 or 4.
Honestly, you know what? You can find playlists of those on YouTube, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, I'll catch up. I got to catch up on Walking Dead. I'm a little bit behind, but I will get back into it. I know people are tired of a lot of it now, but. I still think Fear is pretty damn good. That's a show that had to kind of evolve because it wasn't maybe catching on totally at the beginning.
It's funny because when it evolved, I was kind of like annoyed because I finally liked the core characters. But then they kind of came back around for me towards the last couple seasons. But there was that couple in the middle. I was just like, I want the old version before we changed everything up.
Yeah, I got to figure where I left off now, which is annoying.
See, I thought you were up to date with that one.
I might be, and I might even be just confused at this point. Where Fear, yeah, I might be.
Yeah, I remember you telling me because I was forever. Oh, we have DG, one of the producers.
Hello,
we
welcome.
What's up, man?
I think we were pretty nice. Yeah, I loved your movie.
Yeah, and. I see now. I feel like I'm gonna say I would be a dick. Like, oh yes, yeah. Overall, yeah, great score.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a badass movie. I'm sure that had to be an interesting set with Brian O'Halloran. I actually have met Brian O'Halloran at a celebrity dinner, and he's super nice. But yeah, Tommy Lee, that had to be a crazy set. I look forward to any behind the scenes stuff there. Some bloopers maybe. Yeah.
But thank you for checking it out. Well, I know we're wrapping it. Is there anything you plugged everything?
I think we plugged it all.
Oh, if you didn't check our pre-show out on Patreon and you want to hear an interesting story from Kruger, you should probably go check that out.
Yeah, only on Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, gentlemen, on that, if you missed any of the show, you can go back and watch it from the beginning. Please share, like, all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes, share the links, guys. That really does help. Please do. Hit that thumbs up if you haven't already. And for now, good night.
Pug or Kruger?
Sweet dreams, motherfuckers.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.